Welcome back to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, February 7th, 2021. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope everyone had a great week and happy Super Bowl Sunday for those of you who watch American football. Today we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. It's going to be going down in a few hours from the time of this recording. Hope you all have a great weekend, whether you're a football fan or not. I just hope everyone's having a great weekend, and I'm looking forward to talking about some wrestling today right here on the Weekender Podcast. So let's talk about the topics and jump right into it. Today we have Impact Wrestling results, and I'm also going to give you No Surrender predictions, because by the time you hear me next, No Surrender will have happened. It's this upcoming Saturday. We also have results for 205 Live, NXT UK, MLW Fusion, Ring of Honor, and then we have a recap of Being the Elite, the latest episode titled The Betrayal is Real. But before we get into all that, y'all know that I always want to give you a show to watch on IWTV, and my recommended show this week is New South Pro Wrestling's Action Clash Episode 21. So the company is called New South Pro Wrestling, and the show is Action Clash, and you can check out all the episodes on IWTV, but the most recent one, as of this recording, came out on the 2nd, Tuesday the 2nd of February. It is the 21st episode of Action Clash, and you know, New South is doing some really great stuff. Shout out to John Mosley, a.k.a. Jumping Johnny Mosley, a.k.a. Mose, who is also, for those of you who listen to my personal podcast over at Fight Talk, we do a weekly MMA show there every Monday, and Mose is the co-host there over there with me. And Mose is a commentator for New South. He also does, you know, ring announcing and a little bit of everything behind the scenes when it comes to a lot of these independent companies right now. He's heavily involved with New South, Action Wrestling, getting more and more stuff done with Southern Underground Pro. He's all over the place. TWE in Chattanooga. I mean, the list goes on and on. And just by way, you're going to be associated with Scenic City Invitational because they're all kind of linked all together as well. So Mose is out there killing it, and New South is a company that's out there killing it too. They got some really great talent there. It's a show, or promotion rather, that I've been talking about quite a bit here on the show, The Weekender. So this is the most recent episode, and this is what to expect if you want to check it out. We had I Am Sam taking on Cabana Man Dan. We have the New South Tag Team Championships on the line. Pretty in Pink, the team of Kenzie Page and Dylan McQueen, taking on the Talladega Knights, the team of Hunter Drake and Tyler Franks. We had Adam Priest taking on Brandon Williams, and we had in the main event Double Down, the team of Shug D, do not call him Pineapple Pete, Shug D and Donnie Janela, Kung Fu Donnie Janela, taking on Eric Havoc and Trevor Wolf. Now, some people I'd like to highlight on this show. I always talk about Cabana Man Dan when I get the chance. This guy is one of my favorite guys on the indies right now. He's a guy that I've watched really grow in the last few years. He's been around for a very long time, many, many years out on the independent scene. But I think he's really putting it more and more together lately. I actually heard an interview recently where Mose, who I was just talking about, did an interview with Jaden Newman, who is an independent wrestler, does a lot of work in the Southeast, had gotten some work with Chikara before that all shut down, and I'm not going to get into all that, but he was a part of Chikara, the Young Lions tournament. He does a lot of stuff all over the South and really all over the place at this point, but he also runs and operates TWE in Chattanooga, and he trains future wrestlers and stuff like that. So Jade Newman and my buddy Mose, they were talking about Cabana Man Dan, and one of the things that they were talking about was how his confidence seems to be at an all-time high right now. And you can tell it with how he's carrying himself and in his work and the matches he's been having. So huge shout out to Cabana Man Dan. I would highly recommend checking out all of his stuff that you can find. He's a guy who's, you know, back on like the indies, for instance, he tag teamed with Marco Stunt for a little while because they're about the same height. For those of you who've never seen Cabana Man Dan, like, he's a very short guy, but he is just full of heart, and he keeps getting better and better and better, and he's over everywhere he goes. You know, speaking of him in New South, he was the world champion of New South Wrestling here at this promotion for like over a year, maybe closer to 2 years. It was a really long time, and that title belt is ginormous. So it was really cool to see Cabana Man Dan right here on this show. I'm a really, really big fan of his. Also on the show, someone else I want to point out, the Talladega Nights tag team were in this were on the show, and Hunter Drake is recently returning to New South. Tyler Franks is actually in line for a New South Heavyweight Championship match against Derek Neal. So it's really interesting how this is all working out too, because the Talladega Knights are one of the most loved tag teams in New South history. And now Tyler Franks is kind of going to get the spotlight. And the big question is kind of what happens with the Talladega Knights? Do they continue to tag team? Does Hunter Drake just like go in there and support Tyler Franks on his quest for the championship? How's this going to work out? But the Talladega Knights are a really great tag team, and they're super over with New South. But it is also interesting to see them kind of test the water with Tyler Franks, all beef Tyler Franks, and see him, in the title picture in the main event scene. So I really think they have some cool dynamics, some interesting stuff going on with Tyler Franks and the Talladega Knights right now. Also on the show, Adam Priest, a guy that I'm really high on, a guy who I think would have already made it in wrestling, like as far as like mainstream level already at this point. If he just had more size, and there's just nothing anyone can really do about that. It's just one of these things where like his hard work is paying off. You're seeing him on AEW Dark, every now and then. I mean, it's pretty cool to see Adam Priest on AEW Dark, because clearly AEW is interested to some degree if he's on that show. He does great stuff out on the indies. I mean, what he's doing in New South, I think, has been really good. Everywhere he works, I see him mainly in like the Southeast area. He's really, really damn talented, great in the ring, and a guy that, he's kind of been almost under the radar, putting together just a really solid portfolio of a independent career. And I'm really high on him. I think that he has a really bright future, and it's one of those things where like he doesn't look the flashiest, he doesn't have, the biggest size, like I said, but he's just really, really solid in the ring, and he always has good matches, and his matches are believable, and he can tell a really good story in the ring, and I think that that's really valuable. So shout out to Adam Priest. And then of course, I always got to shout out Shug D and Kung Fu Donnie Janela. These guys are incredibly over, and Shug D is going out there and, in my opinion, doing some of the best work of his career. He's been around a really long time. He had a long, long indie career before he wound up, on AEW TV. And then the whole Pineapple Pete thing happened. For those of you who watch AEW, Chris Jericho was basically clowning him and basically made his name in AEW Pineapple Pete. That's what everyone knew him as. And he's, since returning to the indies, his character is like a very, he's like a very bitter, he's a very bitter guy who really hates that that's what wound up happening to him once he felt like he was finally making it. And I really like that character. And then you got Donnie Janela, who, honestly continues to improve as well. Like, he's always been solid, and I've been watching him for years. I first saw him at SUP in Nashville years ago, before he was doing the Donnie Janela thing, or before he was doing the Janela thing at all. He was, I can't remember what his name was before, but it's totally slipping my mind. But before he was even doing the Janela gimmick, I had been watching him. It's always good to see those guys on the show. And all the talents involved were great. I'd just be sitting here all day if I, spotlighted every single person on this show. But, really good stuff. I recommend checking it out. Once again, that is New South Pro Wrestling's Action Clash episode number 21. And that is my recommended show to watch. You can check it out right now on independentwrestling.tv. And also another shout out for IWTV. I've talked about it a little bit, but for those of you who may have missed it, IWTV partnering with Pluto TV is really, really cool. For those who don't know, I'm not endorsed, sponsored anything by IWTV or Pluto TV, but it's a really great place to be able to watch wrestling now. Pluto TV is a totally free app. You just download it on whatever device it's available on, and it's like this TV service. It runs like, it has an on-demand, but it also, it's like a digital streaming, net TV network almost. It's really cool, and it has specific channels to certain stuff. For instance, they have like this new pro wrestling channel, and that's where IWTV stuff's available. They also have random stuff on there, like Stone Cold's Broken Skull Challenge and that kind of stuff. And then they have like a boxing channel. They have an Impact Wrestling channel, which we talk about Impact every week. They've got a ton of channels. They've got a Triple A channel if you want to check out, Triple A, Lucha Wrestling and all that stuff. I mean, they have a ton of stuff on there. Glory Kickboxing, and so, a lot of stuff for sports, and then a lot of TV channels and movies and stuff. I've been using it for a few months, and it's just wild how coincidentally they struck this deal with independentwrestling.tv, because I was already using the service and it's free, and now, you can check out a lot of the IWTV stuff on there. They've been showing a lot of Beyond Wrestling lately on Pluto TV, which is awesome. Like, I watched, like Orange Cassidy versus, I think it was like Orange Cassidy versus Chris Statlander or something recently aired on IWTV, some of that kind of stuff. I watched a really great match between the stunt doubles. It was Marco and Logan Stunt taking on Bear Country. That was on Pluto TV from Beyond Wrestling the other day. So check that stuff out. I mean, it's totally free. I would highly recommend it. But yeah, all great stuff there. Moving on to results, we're going to start off with Impact Wrestling. And for those of you who may have missed it, the last 2 weeks I've gone on the Twitch channel for Fightful Gaming. So twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. And myself, Jeremy Lambert, and Joel Pearl have been doing watch-alongs for Impact Wrestling the last 2 weeks. So I think we're going to try to do it on a regular basis. I know this week's a little crazy for a lot of reasons, but hopefully y'all can catch us there more often. I love doing it. And so for those of you who were there live in the Twitch chat, you saw us, kind of live reacting to the show and just kind of hanging out and answering questions from the chat. But I'll give you the results right here, and then I'll jump into predictions for No Surrender, because I'm really looking forward to that show. So Impact Wrestling is doing a lot of really good stuff right now, and it's really, really, really interesting with the crossover with AEW, and now the crossover potential with New Japan Pro Wrestling as well, and also kind of the National Wrestling Alliance being, involved to some degree, because, Thunder Rosa's been on AEW for a minute now and stuff like that. So really, really great times and exciting times for Impact Wrestling, I think. And yeah, starting off with the most recent episode of Impact on Tuesdays, started off with Havoc defeating Tosha Steelz, got the win with the Tombstone Piledriver. This was solid for what it was. It looks like, obviously, we're going to have Nevaeh versus Kiera Hogan next week, and then probably another tag team match between these two teams for the titles, I would guess, is where, it's heading soon. And which is great. I mean, two of the best teams in the division, and I really think that Steelz and Hogan having the titles is the right move right now. So I expect them to retain whenever this match does go down, this tag team match. But for now, it's good for what it is. And I think Havoc getting the win over Tasha Steelz is fine, because Havoc is, a dominant force. She, or at least she should be. And she hits a good tombstone. I mean, it looked pretty brutal. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like the result here. And it's one of those things, as long as they can make Havoc and Nevaeh look really good against Steelz and Hogan, but Steelz and Hogan are, retain the titles when it's a tag team match. Like, you know what I mean? I'm totally fine with how this is playing out. Moving on, we had a solid match where Josh Alexander defeated Madman Fulton, got the win with a J-Driller, which I really like this. It was really solid for what it was. It wasn't super long, but it accomplished exactly what it needed to. And I think Madman Fulton can afford to lose these kind of matches, because at the end of the day, I think Ace Austin is really the star of that pairing, as he should be. I mean, Ace Austin, I'd be fine with Ace Austin being the Impact Wrestling World Champion right now. Like, I think the guy's incredible. But Madman Fulton, I think, serves better as like kind of a bodyguard to Ace Austin. So for Alexander to beat Fulton, I think is great. And I want to see them push Josh Alexander. Like, if Josh Alexander, or if Ethan Page rather, is going to be, he's gone from Impact Wrestling, which by all indications, it seems like that's the case. I don't want to see them just like throw Josh Alexander into another random tag team. I want to see him as a singles wrestler climb the ranks and eventually get a shot at the Impact World Championship. And then depending on how that's going and, you know, how over he is and how his matches have been and if, you know, his body can hold up because he has had some injuries. Like if he can check all those boxes, you know, he's a guy that I could see maybe being the world champion at some point. Like I think the talent's there. And he's different enough, you know, he's unique enough that I think he presents something different as a potential world champion for Impact Wrestling one day. And hopefully what we're getting soon is Ace Austin versus Josh Alexander, because whenever that goes down, now they're going to be involved, you know, at No Surrender, but I'll get into that in a minute. But if we can get a one-on-one match between Josh Alexander and Ace Austin soon, I think that could be really, really, really good. So I love the result of this, and I thought the match was really good for what it was. After that, we had Larry D defeating Crazy Steve, got the win where basically Crazy Steve goes for a springboard, and then Larry D knocks him out and gets the 1-2-3. Larry D had Ace Romero, you know, on the outside, and Crazy Steve had Rosemary. Not really much more to talk about when it comes to this match. After that, we had Trey Miguel getting interviewed backstage, and he wants to prove that he can, you know, be a star on his own without the rest of the Rascals. And I think it's really interesting how they've positioned him since coming back. Like they've made it seem like, all right, Trey Miguel's here, and if he's here back in Impact and he's doing this solo, he's a guy who might be, you know, in the mix for the world title. I mean, I think he'll definitely be in the mix for the X Division title and the world title. You know, he's a guy that I think the company really should get behind if they do have him, you know, locked in a contract. You know, I don't know what his contractual situation is, but I'm just saying that, you know, if they're going to have him long term, he's another guy like Trey Miguel and Ace Austin are two guys that I could see having some fire matches, you know, for the world title, you know, and or maybe in the more recent, in the more, you know, near future, maybe for the X Division title, but you know, I could see that as a world title match as well for sure. After that, we had Jordynne Grace defeating Susan, got the win with a Grace driver, and this was after Jazz took out Gianna Perrazzo and Kimberly. So Jordynne Grace looked great here. Susan can afford to take these losses. The Sue Young character, I think, needs to be protected, but her as Susan, this all makes sense. I still love the team of Jordynne Grace and Jazz, and I think we're gonna get a great, you know, match between the two. We've already seen the two of them wrestle, but I think we'll have a better match whenever they run it back because I feel like that's where it's heading, you know, fairly soon. But this is all good stuff. Y'all know me at this point. If you're a longtime listener of The Weekender, I'm a huge mark for Jordynne Grace. I think she's great. I really think they should just push her, and she should rarely ever lose matches. I really, really like her. And I like this a lot, you know? And for newer listeners who may not have known that, now you do. Huge Jordynne Grace fan. After that, we had Rohit Raju defeating TJP. Mahabali Shira came out, which was actually a surprise. Like Rohit Raju was talking to like a mystery person backstage the week prior, and I'm assuming that that person was Mahabali Shira. And yeah, I mean, it was pretty brutal. Shira hit a choke slam onto the ring apron. And Rohit Raju got the pin off of that. So they're continuing the feud between TJP slash Manic and Rohit Raju, but they're adding in Mahabali Shira, which I think is good because Raju kind of having that heater, I think, is going to help him even more. I like Rohit Raju a lot. I like TJP in the ring a lot. And, you know, I think that the pairing of Shira and Raju works really, really well. I think it's going to be great going forward. So all good stuff there. We get Violent by Design promo, which was good. They're trying to recruit Cousin Jake, and it I think eventually this is all heading to Cousin Jake renaming himself Jake something on Impact Wrestling. You know, that's the name he's used on the indies for his whole career, and he's a great talent. I talk about him on the show a lot too. I'm really impressed with him. He's got great size, a great athletic ability. You know, checks basically every box that, you know, you're looking for, and, you know, in a star in wrestling. He's really, really good, and he's only going to continue to get better. And I hope that we see him as Jake something on Impact Wrestling soon, and I hope they give him a push. And it looks like that's the case. I mean, I think Diener is doing a great job with Violent by Design, with Eric Young and Joe Doering. I think that trio is incredible. And I'd be okay with Jake joining them, by the way. I just don't think that's where it's heading. I think Jake's going to be, the baby face fighting off that heel team. And once again, it's another good story. And I think Violent by Design, once again, I think is a really great stable. And I really like Joe Doering. And I really like Eric Young as well. I mean, I like all three of them a lot. But Joe Doering, I think, was just like such a slam dunk, out of nowhere, huge, great move by Impact Wrestling. Like when they signed him, I don't think he was on anybody's radar as far as a guy who he thought was coming into Impact Wrestling. He'd been doing great work in All Japan for a long time, and he was like a massive star over there for them as far as multiple time world champion and all that. Like he was a big deal in All Japan, and he's just somebody who I think just totally flew under everyone's radar. And when he popped up in Impact Wrestling, I was really confused. I was like, why do I know this guy? Like, why this guy looks so familiar, like this name. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this is the dude from All Japan, from like for, he's been there for like a decade, I was like mind blown that they had signed him, because I just don't think anyone saw it coming. And I think his pairing with Eric Young and Diener is fantastic. Like they nailed it with the way that they casted him onto the show. And in the main event, we had Moose and Chris Bey defeating Rich Swann and Tommy Dreamer. Rich Swann and Tommy Dreamer, of course, wrestling for the World Heavyweight Championship at No Surrender. The finish came when basically a bunch of stuff is happening all over the place, and Moose like slides into the ring after a blind tag and nails Rich Swann with the spear for the 1-2-3, which I'm totally fine with. They're really building Moose, especially because, I'll talk about my No Surrender predictions in a second, but, I really think this is all heading towards Moose. I mean, Moose obviously has the world title match, and it's heavily implied it'll be Moose versus Rich Swann. Like, the only thing that could really stand in the way of that is if Tommy Dreamer defeats Rich Swann at No Surrender. I think that this is all heading towards Moose being the world champion. I think they're going to go all the way with him. I really do. And I don't blame them. I think that Moose has he has the look, like he looks like a star. His promos are getting better and better. His character, the way it's developed over the last year or so, has he's complete. I've completely 180'd my opinion of him. A year ago, if you would ask me my thoughts on Moose, I'd say overrated. I don't think he's anything too special. Fairly generic. Good size. Looks like an athlete. Was an athlete. Was a professional football player. But just kind of almost like a Titus O'Neil. Like Titus O'Neil, I still think hasn't like figured it out yet. Like he has the size, he has like the speed and the power, but he rarely is ever wrestling on the show. And I think it's a lot of it has to do with the fact that like he just isn't good at wrestling still. For whatever reason, it never clicked with him. Like the way that he moves and throws people and he looks real stiff. And then of course like the way he tripped and slid under the ring and stuff. It's just, Titus O'Neil has just never quite figured it out. Moose figured it out, like two guys with very similar backgrounds, like big athletic football players, and Moose has figured it out. Just to give kind of an analogy, which of like somebody who, I think really showed it. Like I think Titus O'Neil showed a ton of potential. He's obviously a super likable guy. The WWE. I think the main reason they keep him around is because like he is such a well-loved guy and he's so great for all the communities and all the stuff he does outside of wrestling, because he's hardly ever featured on the actual show. But you have a guy like, Moose, who's just continuing to get better and better and better and better, and now it's to a point where like I really think that he will be the next Impact Wrestling World Champion. I think eventually I think Kenny Omega will challenge for the Impact Wrestling World title, and I think he'll win it. But and it's totally possible we get, Kenny Omega versus Rich Swann for that belt. But I feel like we'll get Rich Swann, or I feel like we're gonna get Kenny Omega versus Moose. I don't know why I have that gut feeling, but I think it'll be Kenny Omega versus Moose instead, just because the match would be so different. But I don't know. We'll see. A lot of great options though. That's the kind of moral of the story there is there's a lot of great options and great stories right now. Unfortunately, I'm not that into Tommy Dreamer, challenging for the world championship. We'll talk about that right now in that whole show. So, No Surrender is this upcoming Saturday. These are my predictions. First up, we have a triple threat revolver match to determine the X Division number one contender for the belt. So the way this match works, to my understanding, is it's a triple threat match. When someone's eliminated, a new person comes in. It's just a bunch of triple threat matches over and over again until there's three people left, and then whoever wins that, that's how the match ends. Which is a really cool concept, actually, to be totally fair. And the talent involved, there is so much talent in this one. So we have Ace Austin, Blake Christian, Chris Bay, Daivari, Josh Alexander, Suicide, Trey Miguel, and Willie Mack. I think this will probably be the best match of the whole night. It just depends on how kind of the gimmick itself flows and works. Because I don't think we've ever seen this match type before, at least to my memory. I can't really remember ever seeing something like this. So, as far as a prediction, man, there is so much talent here. I'm always on Team Willie Mack. Y'all know that at this point who listen regular. I think that they should push the hell out of Willie Mack. I think Willie Mack should have already been the world champion. And, I will take back a little bit of what I said about Moose beating Rich Swann for the title, only because what I would like to see, top scenario, would have been Willie Mack beating Rich Swann, because they have the history there and their partners and their friends. And to see Willie Mack, it'd be a cool story for Rich Swann to give his friend Willie Mack a title shot, and then Willie Mack actually wins the belt. Which, so that's another scenario where, and by the way, I like Rich Swann as the champion. I just don't know how long he's going to hold that belt for, because Impact Wrestling really likes hot potatoing their championships. That's one downside about Impact Wrestling for me, is that their champions lose the belts too often, in my opinion. So that's kind of why my line of thinking is, I love Rich Swann as the champion. I think he's done a great job, but there's just something in my subconscious when it comes to Impact Wrestling where I'm always kind of thinking, this is great, but who's the next one they're going to go with? Because it always seems like they're changing that championship. And that's with all their titles, by the way. That's a long way of saying I would like to see Willie Mack win this match, but I also want to see him in the world title mix. So, Trey Miguel, I feel the same way about, although I see Trey probably hanging around the X Division for the near future. I don't see Suicide winning. I don't see Josh Alexander winning, even though that would be really interesting. Him in the X Division, he presents something different, a definite contrast between what you normally see in the X Division. And I would be really happy to see him win this match, but I just don't see that happening. Don't see Daivari doing it. I think he's doing the best work of his career, but and he looks incredible, but I just don't see them pushing him, towards that title right now. Chris Bay, I think they should have already pulled the trigger on. I think he should have won the championship at that last pay-per-view. I'm blanking on which one was most recent. All I can think about is No Surrender right now. Hard to Kill, though. That was it, wasn't it? Hard to Kill. Chris Bay, I think should have won the title there. Blake Christian, I think, is the real X factor here. He is incredibly talented. He just lost a match to Ricky Shane Page over the Fight Forever weekend, and because he lost that match and didn't win the title over RSP, Blake Christian can no longer wrestle for GCW. It was like a loser leaves town match. If Blake Christian lost, he was banned from GCW. If Ricky Shane Page lost, he lost the belt. Title versus career, basically. And I've heard a lot of stuff about Blake Christian being a lot of companies being very interested in Blake Christian. That goes for all the big companies. So it is pretty interesting to see him back with Impact Wrestling. He did a great job. He had a great showing in that X Division Cup tournament, the one that he lost to Ace Austin in the finals. And I don't know if Blake Christian is going to be with Impact long term. I just know there was a lot of interest from all some big companies when it came to him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. I could see Blake Christian winning this. I mean, he has the talent to be the next big star of the X Division, but I'm not 100% sure he's there long term. I just don't know. And then you have Ace Austin, of course, who I can talk all day about. I think, I think he's incredible. I really think he's a guy who could be the face of the entire company, one of the top stars of all of Impact Wrestling. It seems like they're kind of pushing him again in the X Division. The only thing I don't like about it is that he's been the X Division champion before. That goes the same for Willie Mack. And to a degree, Suicide as well. And same with Chris Bay. Suicide's a little bit different of a scenario. I just don't really want to see Suicide winning the belt right now, regardless. And I was never a huge Suicide fan, really, at any point. But like Willie Mack, Chris Bay, and Ace Austin have all been the X Division champion relatively recently. And like, for instance, Willie Mack lost. So Ace Austin lost X Division. If I remember correctly, Ace Austin lost the X Division championship to Willie Mack, and then Willie Mack lost it to Chris Bay. And then Chris Bay wound up losing it to Rohit Raju, and then all that stuff's, happened since. So, it's like, but the thing is, all these guys are great talents. As far as a prediction, this is really hard to call because, once again, most of these guys I want to see in the world title mix. And then you have Blake Christian, who I just don't think is going to be an Impact for very long. And that's not a report or anything, by the way. Like, that's just a gut feeling. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to say Trey Miguel gets the win because he recently came back. A lot of momentum. I am going to go with Trey Miguel on this one. Like, if it's me personally, I probably go. Well, you know what? I don't even want to say because I really like everyone in this match. It's just a really, really hard one to call. It's just who do they want to go with next? I mean, on the same show, they're going to have TJP with the title, defending against Rohit Raju. So I'm assuming TJP is going to, retain the title. So I'm assuming the winner of this is going to take on TJP. But like, I could see Rohit Raju winning the title back, especially with Shira helping him out now. So it's just a lot of ifs, it just can go so many different directions. So, I'm going to take Trey Miguel though. That's my official prediction. After that, we have Eddie Edwards and Matt Cardona taking on Brian Myers and Hernandez. I'm going to be totally honest. Like, this is all falling flat for me. I'm a huge fan of Cardona and Myers, and what they do with the Major Figure podcast and now the major network they've put together with all the podcasts and content and stuff they're doing. Really awesome. I'm a huge fan of those guys, and they're a big reason why I am such a fanatic of collecting things, again. But as far as this little mini feud or whatever you want to call it, it's really falling flat. I'm just going to be honest. Brian Myers pairing with Hernandez is interesting. Like, if Hernandez, is kind of his heater going forward, similar to Shira with Raju, if they're having Hernandez be like a protector of Brian Myers, I'm kind of interested in that. Cardona, once again, I like him a lot, but I would have kept, this is just a long way of saying, I would have kept Brian Myers and Matt Cardona completely separate from one another for at least a little while in Impact Wrestling. Like, you didn't have to do this so soon, and it seems so forced because anybody who follows them outside of wrestling, and I know that's not everybody, but like, there's also, if we're being honest, there's also not like a ton of people watching Impact Wrestling. Like, there's probably a lot of people who watch the Major Figure YouTube channel, and a lot of those people probably do watch Impact Wrestling. And you watch that, and it's like they're vlogging together for these shows, and then they're supposed to be like these bitter enemies. And I know kayfabe is dead. I get all that, but it's just one of those things for me, But that all being said, as far as a prediction, I'm going to take the team of Eddie Edwards and Matt Cardona. My gut was telling me Myers and Hernandez, but I also don't feel like this needs to be like some long-term story. And Eddie Edwards is like, he's almost like the golden child of TNA or of Impact Wrestling. And I mean that not from the sense that I think he's like the best wrestler on the roster or like the most over guy on the roster. Or, the most impressive guy on the roster. I think he's really good, but he's, he doesn't check all the boxes for me, if that makes sense. I've never been like a huge Eddie Edwards fan, but I respect what he's done in his career, and I think he has some really good matches. He tends to overperform, in my opinion, too. Like, a lot of the time I go into his matches kind of not thinking it's going to be too good, and then it usually exceeds my expectations. But it's just, for the way that I look at it is, like, Impact Wrestling loves the guy, and he's a guy that's been around for, like, around 10 years or so at this point, and, you know, he's just always going to be in the mix. He's going to be in the world title picture or the tag title picture or featured in some big match on most of the shows. So I think because of that reason, or all those reasons, I should say, I think Eddie Edwards and Matt Cardona get the win. And also, Cardona's new to the company. They're probably going to try to, any momentum that he has coming in, I think they're going to try to, really expand on and really build that. So I'm going to say Eddie Edwards and Matt Cardona get the win here. After that, we have TJP defending the X Division Championship against Rohit Raju, who will have Malabhi Shira on the outside. Yeah, I mean, I pretty much gave the prediction for this a second ago. I think that TJP will probably retain, but it is a definite. It definitely adds an interesting layer with Shira being on the outside with Raju. Like, it would not surprise me to see them put the belt back on Rohit, but my gut is telling me TJP retaining here. But that's a really tough one. That's really close to like a 50-50 coin flip right now for me, if I'm being totally honest. After that, we have the World Championship on the line. Rich Swann defending against Tommy Dreamer. I mean, I think this match will be better than I'm expecting. Tommy Dreamer, he just doesn't really do much for me anymore. I just have to be totally honest. I respect the hell out of him. I've been a fan since ECW. I mean, like, I literally watched ECW when I was growing up, and Tommy Dreamer was like, I used to play with his action figures and everything. Like, I'm a big fan of his. I watched him all throughout his run in the WWE and the stuff he does with, House of Hardcore and, like, all, I'm a big fan. I really respect him. Part of the Nightmare family with Cody when he came out, when Cody came out for some of his early AEW stuff, and I think at All In as well. Tommy Dreamer was there, in his corner and all that stuff. Like, big fan, nothing but respect for Tommy Dreamer. Everyone in the wrestling industry that I've ever talked to that interacts with him said they love him, and Dreamer has given a lot of people a lot of great opportunities. So, like, I'm happy to see him in this spot because of all of those reasons. It's just, there's no way in hell that Rich Swann is losing this title to Tommy Dreamer. I can't even suspend my disbelief even a little bit to even think there's a chance that Dreamer is going to win this match. So for those reasons, it's, that kind of sucks, right? Because it's like, I'd rather see Rich Swann versus Moose. I'd rather see Rich Swann versus Willie Mack. I'd rather see, Rich Swann versus Ace Austin. You can insert a lot of names there. But this is what the match is. I think it will be better than I'm expecting. And for any, big Tommy Dreamer fans that are listening to this, that are sitting there going, well, damn you, Steven, you can't talk about Tommy Dreamer like that. Like, trust me. Like, I get it. I'm a fan. Have been for a very, very long time. But, I'm ready to see something new. You know what I mean? So that's a very long roundabout way of just reinforcing. I fully believe that Rich Swann will retain the world title against Tommy Dreamer. And then in the main event, we have a really interesting matchup. Very, very excited for this. The Good Brothers, Gallows and Anderson, defending the Impact World Tag Team titles against All Elite Wrestling's Private Party, Cassidy and Mark Quinn, Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn, I should say. They will have Matt Hardy, their manager, in their corner. I think this will be a great match, and I think that Private Party is going to go out there and really, really show out. I think they're going to go out there and have an awesome match. I think the Good Brothers are going to make them look like $1 million. I think the Good Brothers are going to ultimately win this match and retain the Impact titles, but this is a great spot for Private Party to be in, because they're kind of lost in the mix right now in the AEW tag team division, because that division is so stacked, and like, you can only have so many teams at the top, at one time. So this gives Private Party something important to do outside of AEW, which I think is great. And it's going to give them more exposure. I think there's going to be a lot of people. A lot is a relative, term, but there will definitely be some people that are watching Private Party wrestle for the first time on this show. And I think they're going to make fans of whoever is new to checking them out. So I think this match is going to be really fun, but my prediction is the Good Brothers, Gallows and Anderson, get the win and retain the titles. So that'll do it for my No Surrender predictions. Moving on to more results, we have 205 Live. Show started off with the team of Matt Martell and Sunil Singh, Bali Rise, one half of Ever Rise, one half of the Bollywood Boys, taking on the team of Tony Nese and Arya Daivari. Tony Nese and Daivari get the win when Tony Nese hits the running Nese on Matt Martell for the 1-2-3. After that, we had the only other match of the night, August Gray defeating Jake Atlas with a diving splash. Both these matches were good. Always good talent on 205 Live. It's good to see Nese and Daivari getting this win over Bali Rise because, they are more of a kind of established tag team, and Bali Rise, of course, being two teams thrown together. And it's really cool to see them pushing August Gray, which kind of the bigger point I wanted to make about 205 Live this week actually didn't happen on this show, was on NXT. But we had Santos Escobar retain the title over Curt Stallion. And, Curt Stallion and August Gray have been, good friends on the show and all that stuff. And Curt Stallion was unsuccessful in his quest for the title, at least up to this point. And I could see August Gray being the next guy, up for the championship. I could totally see him getting a shot soon, which I think will be great. As far as Escobar versus Stallion, though, I think they had a hell of a match, and I would highly recommend anyone check that out on NXT. What I normally do, just to peel back the curtain a little bit, on Wednesdays, I have two screens in my living room. I have one on NXT, and I have one on AEW. And I am just admittedly, most people know this, but I am definitely a humongous AEW fan, and I watch them over pretty much anything. So I have AEW, has most of my attention, and NXT I watch on mute, and then I go back and watch anything big that I missed out on with NXT before I, talk about it. And with AEW and NXT this week, I flipped over and was watching NXT during Curt Stallion versus Santos Escobar, because I'm super invested in that. I think they've had a great story and build up on 205 Live. I'm a huge fan of Curt Stallion's from his run on the independent scene, first ever Southern Underground Pro Bone Storm champion. So always gonna love Curt Stallion, and I thought he really showed out against Santos Escobar. I thought the match was really well done. And Escobar got the win, which I'm okay with. Escobar's been a great champion. Legado del Fantasma has been a great stable and has provided more interest for 205 Live than pretty much anything since. I'd say there's more interest in 205 Live right now, or the show itself has been just more interesting and better than it ever has been since Neville was the Cruiserweight champion, which is, years back at this point. So 205 Live just keeps getting better, and there's a lot of people who have been recently signed by the WWE that I could totally see popping up on 205 Live at some point in the near future, and there's people that I'm hearing could be heading to the PC and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of really good talent that I think, the people we've been talking about a lot, like August Gray, Jake Atlas, Nese, Daivari, all these guys, they're going to have a lot of good people to work with. Stallion, Escobar, all of them, they're going to have a lot of good people to work with, I think. So, I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens, in the near future for 205 Live and the Cruiserweight division. But once again, huge shout out to Curt Stallion for a great showing against Santos Escobar. Came up short, but Escobar is a great champion, and it is good to see him with that title still, because eventually when someone wins that belt from him, whoever beats him, that's going to be a pretty big rub, I think, because Escobar has been a great champion. He's had the belt for, a little while now already. Up next, we have results for NXT UK. Show started off with Nina Samuels defeating Xia Brookside. Finish came when they both basically try to cheat to win, and Nina Samuels gets the better of it. Xia tries to, attack with a suitcase, and then Samuels winds up actually landing a shot with her handbag. So that's how that match ends. After that, we had Joseph Connors defeating Josh Morrell. The finish came when Joseph hit an implant DDT into a hangman neckbreaker, got the 1-2-3 off of that. Joseph Connors, of course, had Ginny in his corner, which I think is a great pairing. And it's good to see this push that Connors is getting because, you know, he was a guy that I remember during the original NXT UK tournament, the one that Tyler Bate won. He beat Pete Dunne. Was it Pete Dunne in the finals? I think it was Pete Dunne in the finals to win the first ever NXT UK championship. And I remember Joseph Connors being a guy that they heavily featured in that. And I always felt like he could offer more than what he was doing on NXT UK. And right now, I think he's getting that opportunity. And his pairing with Ginny, I think, is good for both of them. After that, we had, in my opinion, one of the best wrestlers in the world right now, Ilya Dragunov defeating Tyson T-Bone. This was a solid match with a great ending, an ending that I always enjoy, where Dragunov basically gets T-Bone into a crucifix and then just elbows him in the side of the head over and over and over again, kind of, you know, a la, you know, Bryan Danielson back in Ring of Honor in like the early 2000s. I remember he used to do that and stuff. I mean, Dragunov has been just destroying people, and his match, I talk about it all the time, but I think he had the best match of the entire year of 2020 against Walter for the NXT UK Championship. And Dragunov, you know, he lost that match, but, you know, everyone loses to Walter on NXT UK. And they're doing a great job rebuilding Dragunov to, like, a title challenger. Not that he really needs to be rebuilt, but, like, I think y'all know what I mean. I think Dragunov is going to be kind of that clear number two ranked guy. It'll be, you know, Walter for a minute. And you'll kind of have Dragunov always right there. And then you'll have, you know, other guys like Tyler Bates always going to be around there. I think Ben Carter will be there soon. I think they should push Ben Carter heavily. So there's a lot of really good stuff. A-Kid, obviously, in that mix. They've been doing a great job with Jordan Devlin, and we'll talk about him in a second. And there's a lot of really good talent. Rampage Brown, they're obviously giving a big push to. So all good stuff. I forgot to mention that Dragunov actually attacked Sam Gradwell after the match as well. So they're really showing a mean streak to Dragunov. After that, Joe Coffey defeated Danny Jones. Basically, Danny Jones counters the all the best for the bells, and then Joe winds up hitting the Glass Cow send-off, and then does ultimately hit the all the best for the bells, his finishing move for the 1-2-3. More importantly, after the match, I'd just spoken of Rampage Brown, Joe Coffey calls out Rampage Brown and challenges them to a last man standing match, and that's what's going to happen. He accepts. So that is going to be a banger. I think Joe Coffey versus Rampage Brown is going to be really, really good. Joe Coffey is another guy that, you know, NXT UK, they seem very high on. Like, he's had multiple title shots. He seems to kind of beat everybody aside from the champion. But I do think that when Rampage Brown and Joe Coffey goes down in that last man standing match, I'm going to pick Rampage Brown to get the win because they really have pushed him heavily, and I think they're going to continue to. And then in the main event, we had an open challenge where Jordan Devlin, you know, issued the open challenge, and Dave Mastiff is the one who accepted it. So we got Mastiff versus Devlin. This was really good. I really love the dynamic between these two. I mean, just two completely different styles, shapes, sizes, everything. Just complete opposites, and it worked really well. The finish came when Jordan Devlin counters a rolling senton into a, you know, goes up top and hits a 450 splash to get the 1-2-3. Jordan Devlin is another guy that just continued to push. Good-looking dude who is incredible in the ring. And from what I've heard, guys like Devlin and Dragunov are, like, really, really high on the list for, you know, guys like HBK and, like, some of the decision makers with NXT UK. They're really, really high on Jordan Devlin and Dragunov from what I'm hearing. So I like seeing this. Jordan Devlin with the win. Dave Mastiff, the only thing with Dave Mastiff that I'll say is he needs to get on a winning streak now because he's a guy with a lot of talent and he's unique. I think he could be positioned better on NXT UK. He just needs to get a bunch of wins, you know, strung together. I think it's definitely salvageable, though, but I like Mastiff a lot, and I like Devlin a lot too. A lot of great talent right now in NXT UK. Moving on, another company with a lot of great talent, MLW, Major League Wrestling. We had a show this week that I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of down on this one. I think they've been knocking it out of the park ever since the restart. Since they returned, back on YouTube doing their weekly show, Fusion. But this show was kind of a miss for me. The opening match was all right. We had Jordan Oliver, who, recently wrestled a 2-hour match against Tony Deppen at GCW's Fight Forever. So huge shout out to Jordan Oliver and huge shout out to Tony Deppen for that matter. Jordan Oliver gets the win over Sentai Death Squad. Gets the win. He does like the springboard off of the turnbuckles into the cutter for the 1-2-3. Basically like an Aus cutter type thing. I think he calls it the crusher. I forget what Oliver calls the name of the move, but yeah, basically a springboard diamond cutter, basically. After that, we had Los Parks retaining the MLW tag team titles by beating Buku Dao and TJP. The finish came when Park hit a shoulder breaker on Buku Dao for the 1-2-3. So Los Parks retain. I'm okay. I like this. How do I say this? I'm okay with whatever they do as long as the end result is Violence is Forever, the team of Dominic Greene and Kevin Koo winning these championships. I don't like how Buku Dao beat Greene and Koo to get this title shot, but if Koo and Greene can if they eventually become the champions, it's all worth it, however this plays out. I'll just put it that way. So those are who I think they should really be building the tag team division around personally, is Violence is Forever. So I'm okay with whatever they're doing up until that point. I didn't like seeing VIF taking the loss once again last week, but part of a bigger story. And Goo and Greeny are going to be, I said goo punch, for those of you who grew up in the 90s, you'll get that one. My Brother and Me, shout out to My Brother and Me, one of my favorite shows growing up. I didn't mean to say goo. Kevin Koo and Dominic Greeny will both be featured on Filthy Island next week, which I'm really excited for. As much as I thought this show was kind of a miss, I think Fight Island, or that's what the UFC calls it, Filthy Island, Tom Lawler's Filthy Island. I think that show is going to be really good next week. I'm really looking forward to that. After that, we had Gino Medina defeating Gringo Loco. Got the win with a basically reversed a pin into a pin for the 1-2-3. I mean, this was all right. Like, Gringo Loco is actually really impressive. I've seen him in Glory Pro Live. I've seen him a few other places, I think, too, but his looks were really deceiving. Like, the first time I saw him wrestle, he was kind of a heavier set guy wearing like this full body USA thing, but he had like this Mexican name or something. It was like I was really confused as to what I was seeing. He looked like this big mix of like a whole bunch of random stuff. And then he went in there and just killed it in the ring. Like, he was in there just hitting springboard Ranas and jumping over the ropes and through the ropes and off the turnbuckles and all this stuff. And I was like, damn, this guy's a lot of fun to watch. So it's good to see him in MLW. He doesn't get the win. Gino Medina, it was okay for what it was, but I would like to see more of Gringo Loco going forward. And the main event, which it just was a nothing, just a no contest, nothing to really talk about. Alex Hammerstone and Mads Kruger. This was a rematch. This was supposed to be I can't remember what they called it. It was like some sort of street fight, some sort of brawl. And basically, they're fighting in the back, like outside, and Alex throws Mads Kruger into a dumpster and tries to pin him, and then he realizes that it's actually a fake Mads Kruger, and then the real Kruger shows up and attacks Hammerstone, and that's how the show ended. So that's two times now where an MLW show has ended with them just brawling and just not having a winner for the match. Just not for me. I don't know really to say. I think Hammerstone, could be a massive star in wrestling. I mean, he definitely has the look. He's very good in the ring, has a great finishing move. But this just isn't it for me. I'm just going to be honest. Him and Kruger, I've already seen enough of it, and I don't think the payoff is going to be anything really worth. I hope that Hammerstone winds up retaining the title, but yeah, I'll just leave it at that. Not a great showing from MLW this week, but I think they're going to turn it around big time with Filthy Island next week. Can't wait for that. And the last set of results we have from Ring of Honor this week, Jonathan Gresham defeated Joe Keyes to retain the ROH Pure Championship. The finish came when Gresham, he had like a kind of like a standing like wrist lock on Joe Keyes. And this was cool because it was like teacher versus student. And he wound up doing this. It was great. It was like they did this double roll through, like they both did like this somersault, and Gresham never let go of Keyes' arm, and then just put him in like this really good, like double wrist lock kind of Kimura key lock thing. I mean, it was like he just put the pressure on him, like a hammer lock maybe, and got the tap. I mean, good stuff. And obviously Gresham was working body parts the whole match, and yeah, I mean, just really, really good stuff. And I love seeing Gresham retain that title. I think he should be the pure champion for a very long time. And he was the one who I thought should win the title in that tournament. He did it, and I like everything about it. And I love the foundation, love that stable, and all that good stuff. And in the only other match we had on the show, so the main event, we had OGK, the team of Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, teaming on Ring of Honor TV for the first time in a long time. It's been years. They are former Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. I believe they were former IWGP Tag Team Champions as well, if I remember correctly. They defeated the Bouncers, the team of Brian Milanes and Beer City Bruiser. And, you know, this was solid. The finish came when Taven got Beer City Bruiser to tap out with his Trendsetter submission. So, really well done. Good match, solid finish, all made sense. Feel good moment having, you know, Taven and Bennett teaming together again and getting this big win. And then after the match, Vincent came out and cuts this promo. And basically, he gets Beer City Bruiser to turn. So let me wind back a little bit. After the match, the Bouncers are offering a post-match toast to Taven and Bennett. They all have beers, you know, bottled beers in the ring. And Vincent comes out to cut this promo and basically convinces Beer City Bruiser to attack OGK. So Bruiser nails Taven with a beer bottle, just crashes it over his head. Then he nails a big DDT on Mike Bennett, so just lays out OGK, then leaves the ring. And then Milanes is in the ring, like seeing if OGK is still okay. He's like checking on him in the ring. So looks like the Bouncers could be splitting here. I mean, this is interesting stuff. This could be really good. Because I could see Bruiser going along with Vincent and his group. And I could see Milanes maybe doing his own thing, or maybe he joins up as well. Interesting stuff here. This is a good story, and I think it's a good way to reintroduce Mike Bennett as like a regular member of Ring of Honor again, having him and Taven team up, and we'll see where it goes. But I thought this was really good stuff from Ring of Honor this week, and it has been every week that they've been back. Ring of Honor, you know, since returning this year, putting on good stuff on their show. Highly recommended. And lastly, we have a recap of Being the Elite. The episode is titled "The Betrayal is Real." Started off with another one of those green screen openings where you had the Young Bucks and the Good Brothers. And I'm not going to get into all this. I know there's some people that are getting really turned off by like how Gallows and Anderson have been acting, like just the constant dick jokes and stuff. And there's plenty of people that feel that way, and I definitely understand that. Every now and then it pops me because sometimes the things they say are just so ridiculous that like it actually makes me laugh. But honestly, for the most part, it is getting more and more cringe the more that they do it, in my opinion. I think it's perfect for Talk and Shop of Mania, but that's like what the show is all supposed to be about, is like that. But anyways, they did have some pretty funny lines in this whole thing, but I'll let you watch that and check those lines out and just determine if you think that they're funny or offensive, because I don't want to be the one who makes that decision for you. So anyways, that's how it opens up. The Good Brothers and the Young Bucks joking around, saying a bunch of really wild stuff in front of a green screen. And on the green screen, there's a baby deer on the screen while this is going on. After that, we just get some clips of, matches with the Young Bucks and the Good Brothers. That moves into a segment where Grayson is just like walking along like this they're like outside of a building, and Anna Jay and Tay Conti are walking by, and Anna Jay just like shoves Grayson over like this barricade. And the bump looked actually pretty nuts, like it's something I definitely wouldn't have done. But Tay asks Anna if she has like a crush on Grayson, and Anna of course denies it. But that seems more and more like where this is heading, is like Anna Jay and Grayson have had like a crush on each other, and Anna obviously isn't admitting it, at least not right now. After that, we have Brandon Cutler and Luchasaurus talking about their match, and Cutler's basically apologizing to Luchasaurus for calling dinosaurs fake, or calling dinosaurs a fossil. Sorry, that was the F word he was referring to, a fossil. And yeah, I mean, so once again, I can't really do this justice, but they basically go to it's like this, it's like a little, it's like a Jurassic World type thing. It's like a bunch of big mechanical dinosaurs, and Luchasaurus takes Marco Stunt and Brandon Cutler to look at all these dinosaurs, and he's like educating Brandon Cutler on dinosaurs throughout this whole thing. And Brandon Cutler and Luchasaurus basically decide by the end of it, like, that they should just have dinosaurs and dragons, of course Brandon Cutler being a dragon, that they should just coexist with one another and learn more about one another. After that, we have the Dark Order back in their lair, and we are getting a slumber party. They teased that last week, and this week is the slumber party. And I mean, there was some pretty funny stuff here. Basically, they have like this big pillow fort and like tent around it and stuff, and they're telling ghost stories, and they wind up kicking five out of the room, or out of the fort, because they say no girls allowed. Like, they let Anna in, but they kick five out because they keep calling him a girl. Anna winds up eventually leaving because like she's not having a good time. She's getting annoyed by Silver, and while she's leaving the fort, she sees Hangman Page is actually in the Dark Order lair, and he's grabbing a bottle of whiskey. And Anna tells Hangman to get out of there because he broke the heart of the boys in the Dark Order, and she doesn't want to see them hurting like that anymore. And basically says like to stop hanging out there. And Hangman Page wants to get in the fort and hang out with the Dark Order guys. And Anna tells him to go away and like not hurt their feelings. And Five sees it happen. And then the rest of the Dark Order makes fun of Five that like he's still outside of the fort and they could hear his voice even though they kicked him out. And then after that, we have Matt Hardy talking to Private Party. He is basically telling Private Party about how he got Brandon Cutler like all worked up about wrestling Luchasaurus, like got in his head to make him think that he could actually beat Luchasaurus. And the reason that Matt Hardy did that is because he placed a huge bet against Brandon Cutler in that match, and he won that bet, obviously. And then he has Private Party go into the Good Brothers locker room, and they do this bit where Gallows is acting like Festus, and while they're talking about the Festus character and being a bad gimmick, him and Anderson and Private Party's in the room too. They're calling him Festus with a PH, like to just avoid any possible legal issues if WWE still owns the gimmick and trademark and everything to the name Festus. So that was pretty funny. Anderson says if he's Festus, he definitely doesn't want to be Jesse. So I mean, this was pretty funny, and they're acknowledging, Gallows's WWE past. After that, we have Nyla Rose on the phone with Vicky Guerrero, and she tells her that they may have too many donations, basically the money that they're stealing from people and like taking from people from dressing up like nuns and stuff like that. And we are left with a little cliffhanger where it's, Vicky and Nyla are going to meet in their secret place to discuss further about what they're going to do with all this money. After that, we see Griff Garrison just dancing in a room. I have no idea what was going on with that. It was like a 10-second clip of Griff Garrison just dancing by himself in a room. And then after that, Sammy Guevara defeats John Silver to win the BTE Championship. So new BTE champion, Sammy Guevara, gets the win with basically the game this week was kicking field goals. They were kicking from like the 5-yard line. So, you know, the end zone for, you know, on the field is 10 yards. So I think they were kicking like 15 yards. They may have been at the 10-yard line, but they weren't very far back. And Guevara winds up winning the contest and basically says that people need to go check out his YouTube channel now and, you know, plugs all his stuff while he is now the BTE champion. So once again, new being the elite champion, Sammy Guevara. And John Silver actually acted pretty salty about losing. He was like just talking all about how he was happy. He didn't have to travel around with the belt and stuff anymore. But when he had the title, he seemed pretty damn happy to have it. So that was kind of a strange reaction from John Silver. Seemed very, very salty about losing. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to shoot me a follow on Twitter at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.